Utah got it within seven. Step back, Harden. Yes! Vintage. That is such a tough shot.
Here was the best sign, Seth, from the Rockets' Game 1 thrashing of the Utah Jazz, 122-90. The way James Harden played. James Harden has more pressure on him right now than any athlete in this city, and he looked like it wasn't bothering him a bit last night. He was in control the entire time. I know he shot poorly. He nearly had a triple-double against the second-best defense in the NBA. That, to me, from last night's game, was my best sign.
The thing that I would say is I was very impressed with Harden, the way he just dissected the Jazz, and especially the Jazz's defensive strategy, because that's the vaunted Bucks strategy that everybody was worried about. It just makes me nervous for deeper into the playoffs when, okay, if a team can force James Harden into having an inefficient shooting night, and yeah, James Harden is dishing the ball off to wide open shooters, the Rockets don't always have the most consistently good shooters. That sometimes it is just a matter of, okay, James Harden's going to bludgeon a team to death. So if they're able to do that, if better teams are able to do that, what's it going to look like then? And other teams are going to be able to put up more of a fight, most specifically the Warriors.
All right, well, let me take that and run with that part, because I'm looking at last night's game. The Rockets hit 15 threes, and they shot 36%. Now, 36% is pretty good.
From three.
From three. Yeah. But I'm looking at each guy. PJ, 3 for 7. Chris Paul, 0 for 3. Harden, 4 for 10. Gordon, 3 for 5. Those are your starters. I think they can replicate that, especially because some of those Gordon and PJ Tucker threes, especially PJ, I mean, they were just leaving them wide open in the corner.
Right.
If they, I mean, McHale said, I think it was Kevin McHale, late in last night's game. He was obviously doing the color. He said, well, maybe for game two, Utah should just pack the paint and just let the Rockets shoot from the outside. And I was thinking,
who said that?
Kevin McHale.
I was thinking, okay.
Like, I guess, but if they're leaving PJ Tucker open from the corner and Eric Gordon open, that's exactly what the Rockets want. They'll take their chances with that. I think they can shoot like this.
Yeah.
Again, against Utah, if the looks are this good.
They can. No, they certainly can. And like what Utah is almost just hoping, at least what it looks like is, it felt to me like Utah had already given up on the series. Because they're going for that kind of, hey, let's hope the Rockets go cold strategy, which is great, and you can win a game or two when you do that, but that's not how you win four games over a seven-game series. You don't just sit there and hope that the Rockets go extremely cold, because it would have to be extremely cold. They had wide-open shots, and they were missing some of the wide-open shots early on. You all right? You got something in your eye?
Okay.
There?
Something happened to my
I thought you were about to stroke out. Your eyes were like glazing backwards, like you were warging or something.
I'm fine. I don't
know what the hell was going on.
They're
kind of glassy.
I have not become an ice creature. Just my right eye. I'm okay.
Jeez.
Something got in here.
Jonesy, keep an eye on this one.
Yeah, keep an eye on me. Oh, my goodness. This is going to be a fiasco.
Am I worried about the Jazz? No, not at all. I was just trying to, you're asking me. All right, you were making it sound like nobody could ever stop the Rockets if they're played exactly the way they did last night. I don't think that's the case.
I think it's more just the way the Jazz played defense last night. They cannot beat the, like, if the Jazz play defense like they did last night, the Rockets will sweep this
right.
series like Paul predicted that they will.
Yeah.
And tell me if this is crazy. I want to go back to James Harden real quick. Mike and Seth on a Monday. Paul's back tomorrow. Harden was 11 for 26. It didn't feel like he was 11 for 26. Am I insane for saying that? Like, when I found that out last night when I'm watching the postgame show on TNT with Barkley, I was thinking, man, I didn't realize that Harden was only 11 for 26. And I guess that's because he came out and he was shooting so well early.
Yeah.
It didn't really feel like 11 for 26. So I guess that's because it's a combination of he shot well early and they were up big for almost the entire game.
The game was never out of hand. And you never felt like, oh, wow, Harden. And Harden wasn't drawing fouls last night. I thought that was partly on the officials, but not in a way that made me angry at the officials, because I thought they just kind of swallowed their whistle a lot of times. They were letting both the Rockets and the Jazz get away with some pretty physical screens.
I thought the officials were bad last night.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. The three fouls that Harden picked up in the third quarter, I thought the last two of them were not good calls.
Yeah.
And I thought they had way too much nonsense ticky-tack stuff.
Oh, well, early on, one of those early turnovers was ridiculous. Harden was just standing in place. Somebody who tripped over him. And they called it. There were a lot of ticky-tacks. They went from a lot of ticky-tack stuff to, like, extreme stuff they let go.
They had some random off-ball fouls early in the shot clock in the second half. I did not think that the officials were very good last night, which bodes well for the Rockets because they crushed the Jazz last night. I mean, the margin was, let's see, let me do my math here, 32 points at the end. It was really more of a 15 to 18-point game. But the Rockets only shot 12 free throws last night. Utah shot 27. That bodes well moving forward.
Let me ask you this. How'd you feel about Kevin McHale on the call in his trip back to Toyota Center?
I thought Kevin McHale did a pretty solid job. I stayed home last night. I didn't go to the game because I wanted to watch Game of Thrones first and then watch the DVR of the game.
I wouldn't have asked you for his opinion if you were... Did you watch Kevin McHale from the press box? How did he look?
I thought McHale was pretty diplomatic. And I thought he said a lot of nice things about James Harden. And I thought he also had good insight on Capella about what it was like to coach him as a young guy, like a 19 or 20-year-old.
Yeah.
He talked about how when he first got him, he was working really hard, but he would often just run out of gas because he just wasn't in that kind of shape that he needed to be in. But he worked so hard, and he got himself to this point.
Yeah, that was the huge question even 2 years ago, remember? When he became the full-time starter,
yes.
It was like, how's this kid going to get more than 20 minutes a night? Because it looked like that was the ceiling. Like,
yes.
20, 24 minutes a night was the ceiling before. I thought that... I was waiting to hear some kind of little jab or something from McHale because remember the last time Harden's name came out of his mouth was when he said that Harden wasn't that good of a leader.
Yes.
And then Harden had some kind of comeback. He didn't call him a clown, but he made kind of a little snarky comeback, as was his right after McHale says that. So I was wondering. I was wondering if Kevin was extremely conscious of like not coming off like a.
I think he was probably conscious because. I guess that was McHale's first time back at Toyota Center.
It was.
Since he had been let go, which I didn't realize.
To the Chronicle, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize that up until I was watching the game last night.
Remember when his wife said that that Maury had crocodile tears and all of that?
I remember. That was
remember
a bad
how
look.
Ugly it got?
That's a bad look.
It got very ugly.
Yes.
And that weird, really the low point of the last 5 years in the Rockets' existence was just the way all of that went down.
All right, Mike and Seth, on a Monday, Paul's back tomorrow. I want to put a bow on this. I felt the best sign from last night was the way the Harden played seemingly completely free. He didn't look like a guy who was under the kind of pressure that he is under. Would you agree or disagree that was the best sign from last night?
I don't think of it as a sign because like it's the Jazz.
I
feel like you're giving the Jazz way too much credit.
Well, I respect
the Jazz. Like it's not like we haven't seen Harden play well in the playoffs before, right? Did Harden do anything last night that you didn't know he was capable of doing?
He did not.
Like especially in the playoffs. Had plenty of good series.
I liked how free he played.
Yeah.
I like how free he played.
I like that, okay, they threw a look at him that other teams are going to try because it worked for the Bucks, and Harden made it look like no big deal whatsoever. He just kind of tore him apart. I think the Jazz can do a better job of executing that strategy, so game two will be really interesting to see. My biggest takeaway from that game, if I thought there was somebody that made a statement or whatever, if I'm looking for a good sign, it's Chris Paul and the way he looked. Chris Paul looking like vintage Chris Paul, that's a nice thing to see, and I think I sensed a playoff gear that I hadn't quite seen since he came back from the injury. So that's what I'm excited about.
Mike and Seth, Mad Radio. One of the things that's also come up in the hour, by the way, Wednesday night is game number two at Toyota Center. So a couple days off for the Rockets with how they lengthen these first round series in the NBA. I maintain that Tiger Woods winning at Augusta on Sunday is one of the greatest moments in the history of sports. I have a Twitter poll, Seth, that is up right now. I have just posted it at Mike Meltzer. Jones, if we can retweet it from our account at Sports Radio 610 as well. I asked this question. Is Tiger winning the 2019 Masters one of the greatest moments in sports history? So far, I mean, we're only basically 5 minutes into this. 62% of people say yes.
Yeah.
Although I sent our text line is split.
So what's it? It's 62%
say yes.
So 38% no. Okay, so I actually feel pretty good about that. When I told you it wasn't unanimous that this is the greatest thing ever, you looked at me honestly like it was the most shocking thing I could have ever told you. It was like I told you I was an alien or something.
No, I think it was. I think I react that way when you made the point about so many people not liking.
Yeah, there
Tiger
are a lot
Woods.
Of people that don't like him. Like, and I'm not saying golf fans don't like him, but like the casual sports fan or the casual non-golf, the sports fan who's not a golf fan, I think a lot of them are like, yeah, I'm over you, Tiger. So, and that was shocking to you.
Text message from 628 guy at 713-572-4610. I am tired of Mike. I'm a golfer. Don't like Tiger. He is 43-1 a tournament. Lots of golfers have surgery and come back. P.S. I still really like Mike.
I had asked Mike why it was that it seemed like it was bothering me so much. Like, over the course of 2 hours, I went from being pretty excited about Tiger's victory to now I'm starting to get angry about it for some reason. And I know
I'm being over the top melodramatic, but I actually do feel this way.
You know what it is? You know what
yes.
it is?
No, what is
it's
it?
Because this is a side of you that I don't quite believe or buy into. It's like the sentimental side of
yeah.
you. And as one of our texters points out, Mike is an elitist. That's why it rubs you the wrong
way. I don't
way,
get Seth. That point.
I feel like you're trying to get in with the elitists.
No.
You're kind of like, hey, I, like you, am a fan of golf. Let's talk about it.
It's not even golf. It's just great moments involving great athletes. Like, that's what it is. Golf actually has really not a lot to do with it. It's more about the great athlete having the major rise, the fall, and the rise again. And what does America love more than that?
No,
what does
no,
America
I agree
love more
that it's
than
an
that?
Incredible story, but there's something about you gushing over it that's starting to annoy
well,
me.
Well, I've also made this point. I'll reiterate it. And I'm going to remove myself from, like, all right, the 2017 playoff run by the Astros and the World Series and the ALCS. Major sporting events that I had no stake in that I felt most nervous about. Watching the Masters yesterday on Sunday, I felt more nervous for a sporting event. The last time I felt this nervous was watching the Cavs and the Warriors game 7 in 2016 when they made that comeback and they beat the greatest regular season team of all time. Because it wasn't just the stakes that a championship was on the line. It was that if this happens, this is something that is historic in nature. That's how into this tournament I got. And that is the reason I feel this way.